17 years ago, about this time of the year, our lives were changed by coming into this family. And, we've been through a lot. We've seen a lot. We've had some mighty victories. We've even had moments where we have felt the sting of loss and even defeat. But I'm thankful for the relationship that the Father's given us in this house. And the relationship that He's given us, not just in the past or present, but in the time to come. I really feel like our greatest days are before us.
Amen. I agree.
I'm the kind of person that if I knew my best was behind me, I would just say, "Go ahead, Lord, I'm ready.
Right.
Just take me home." I feel like every season of our life is preparing us for something more that He's setting before us. In other words, I don't feel like He takes us backwards. I don't feel like we peek out and then we fall down and then we end our life. No, I believe in the Lord it's always peaking. And I believe our best is yet to come in the Lord. And so I believe it's important, you know, as we continue to move forward, to stir ourselves up afresh in the Lord. And forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, no matter what stage of life you are at in life and your pursuit of the Lord and your ministry, you know, I believe it's necessary that we allow the Lord to continually stir us afresh, that we give all that He's enabled us to give and hold nothing back at whatever stage of life it is. You know, some of us will live to a ripe old age. Some of us will step into eternity much sooner than that. But what's important is not how long we live, it's how we live. It's how much we give Him of our life. There's no question what He's worthy of. He's worthy of it all. Absolutely worthy of it all. And I know that your heart burns to see Him do what only He can do. I know that you carry that longing in your heart. Many of you in this room do. You know, I would like to say that all of you do, but only the Lord knows that. But I know that many in this house do carry that in their heart. We long to see Him exalted in this hour and this day like never before. And I believe He is longing to move in and through His people like never before. But we do. We have to present ourselves afresh every moment, every season, every day. We have to present ourselves afresh to Him in that place of surrender, that my life is not my own, that I've been bought with a price, that the life that I now live, it's for You. It's for Your glory, Lord. It's all about You. It's all for You. You are absolutely worthy of it all. And I'm so blessed, you know, at what the Lord's done these last 17 years. In our relationship together. We've seen a lot. We really have. And I'm thankful that y'all waited for us to come to have this celebration tonight. That is, it's a blessing to be a part of that. You know, there you carry one of the most authentic, sincere pastoral graces that I've ever seen. And you know, the anointing of the Lord on your life is so precious, and it's so powerful, and you have touched so many people through the grace that He's given you. You've loved well, and you'll continue to do so because that's who you are. And I sure appreciate you, and I love you. I know it's, I don't, okay. Thank you. Everybody kick off your shoes, we're going to be here a while.
We'll eat at five.
That's right, we are, and some of us probably don't need to eat until five anyway.
I haven't been here for 4 years, so.
The, You know, Courtney prepared a message that the Lord had given her. And don't pass out. I'm not going to call you up here. I had to throw that out there real quick because I go, You know, unbeknownst to her, the Lord was speaking to me concerning some of the same things that He was speaking to her. And she didn't know, you know, what the Lord was speaking to my heart. I know she knew that I was going to be coming back and sharing today. But the Lord was speaking some of the very, very same things that He was speaking to you about. And I had some notes taken, and I was prepared this morning to deliver that word on behalf of Courtney. However, when we gathered this morning to pray, and I felt to pray for Carrie, when I put my hands on you, the Lord began to speak to me about the voice. So anyway, I'll get into that in just a minute. I did want to say that Courtney has some amazing notes that she took. And I have some here right here that I was going to use. But I know she would be more than blessed if you messaged her. She would send that to you so that you could read through that, okay? Because I don't want you to lose that message, because I know the Lord was stirring her heart, and then He was stirring my heart for the very thing that she was just really elaborating on in the Lord. And so it's a short read, but it's a good word from the Lord. And so if you message her, just tell her, she'll get that to you, right? Okay. All right. Again, normally when the Lord throws an audible before me, I have my Bible. Today I have my iPad because I love it when I'm using notes. And so I'm going to, as best I can, turn to the pages. I'll try it with this. All right. Thanks. All right. I do want to share a testimony with you before we get started from Crystal. Some of you know that we took a young mother in July. Her name was Gina, and she has a little cute baby boy named Gavin. But I wanted to share a testimony. We've been praying for Gina to really encounter the Lord. And most of you know that when our girls come in, especially after the initial girls came into the Hope House, you know, there was a real fight, you know, to see those girls encounter the Lord and just really receive of Him with what He was desiring to do. And a lot of times the ladies, I mean, they would have bruises, bites, scratches, you know, and this went on for weeks. But when they broke through, when they really received of the Lord, there was a shift in the atmosphere. And something took place to where it wasn't only the aunties and the house moms and those that were present to minister to these girls coming in, but there was something that happened on the same level of these other girls that were coming in. And it really did cause a shift in the atmosphere. And from that time until now, the girls that we've taken in have relatively encountered the Lord quickly in a way that they've received what He was desiring to do in their hearts and lives. But Gina was a little bit different. She was a little bit more just pushing things away and kind of resistant. But Crystal just sent me this testimony. I want to read it to you. She said, "I want to tell you guys a little more about Gina's story, but I was tired last night. The Lord started touching her during the worship time last night. She was just sitting in the floor, but trying not to cry. As far as I know, this was her first time to even be this open to Him. Before now, she would say that she didn't want to accept Jesus because she would be crazy if she did. So the Lord was speaking to Faith, Mama and Papa, and urging her to go to Gina. So she did, and Gina ran out of the room crying. Faith and I talked to her for a little while, but she has been really shy with me. So I left her to Faith. I left her, and Faith and her went into a room to talk together. And she started sharing a lot of stuff with Faith, talking about Mama and Papa. After a while, I rejoined them, and she had told Faith she could share the things with me that she had been talking about. She was saying that she had been thinking a lot lately about the things that she had experienced and done, how she took money from people, selling herself, and saying she felt so dirty. And she didn't understand how the other girls could smile so much after all that they had happened to them. She didn't understand why they didn't feel dirty. Faith explained that they can smile because Jesus has washed them clean. And put all that in the past and given them joy. I explained that I'm glad she's feeling that because it shows that the Lord is moving in her heart. And He was giving her the opportunity to let Him come in and make her clean. We talked about what He wants to do in her life and asked if she's ready to surrender to Him. And she said yes. Then we talked about how important it is to develop her relationship with Him, how she needs to be baptized, and how she needs to share with people about her decision. So I encouraged her to tell the other girls and staff, asked if she wanted to share it to everyone in the van before leaving, and she said she wanted to. So when they loaded up, I told everyone that we had an announcement that Gina was going to tell them something. And she told them, "Just now, Lung, I received Jesus." Everyone started screaming and clapping and telling her how proud they are. It was awesome. It was cool because she has been really shy in many ways. So this was a big step for her.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know why I feel so emotional this morning, but anyway, we're just so blessed, you know, to see the Lord move in these children's lives and to see them really encounter His love and the reality of who He is and what He's done for them. It is such a tremendous privilege to labor in the way that He's called us to in this season. You know, out of all the different places of ministry, types of ministry, and experience in ministry that we've had over the years, nothing has been as fulfilling and satisfying as seeing these children raised up in the Lord. It is so life transforming for us to be so blessed of the Lord to be a part of it. And we're just really anticipating so much for these girls. I mean, they have such a massive destiny before them, and I'm thankful that He's allowed us to be a part of that. Today, again, I'm just going to go with this as the Lord leads this morning, and I really feel like this is a word specifically for each one of us in this room this morning. You may be here every time the doors are open. You may be visiting today. This may not be your permanent home, you know, where you gather together with the body. But if you're here today, I do believe this word is for you. And I believe that there's going to come a time where you have an opportunity to receive prayer. And I want to encourage you to be obedient to the Lord, because I believe in the area of voice, your voice, something's going to be broken off your life today if you've been hindered in allowing the Lord to move in you and through you and His voice being released from your life. And again, when I was praying for Carrie, it just really... the Lord began to speak to me about the voice, specifically at that moment, about your voice, Carrie. There's such a prophetic destiny on your life concerning the voice. And there's something that takes place in the atmosphere when you're obedient to the Holy Spirit to declare things with your voice. And you feel a lot, you see a lot. But when you speak, things change. When you speak, and that's what you was testifying earlier, you know, that you just begin to enact on something, even with your voice as you were singing or things that you were declaring, but things shift, things change when you speak. And, the reality is that the Lord has blessed us to be about a part of what He's doing in the earth, but He longs for us to yield our voice to Him. You know, go back to the beginning when He created the heavens and the earth. You know, He spoke. The reality is that He could have just thought it. He could have just willed it, which He did. But He spoke. He released His voice. He released His voice in that moment and things were created. There's so much power in the voice of God. There's so much life. There's so much authority in His voice. And He's given us the opportunity not only to be impacted and forever transformed and changed by it, but He's given us the privilege to be a part of His voice going forth in this hour, in this day, and in this generation. You know, when the gospel, Jonathan, when you went to Proverbs 8, you know, I don't know if you realize it, but there's 8 points in that verses, 8 verses that he read. 8 points where it's talking about the voice. 8 points where it's talking about something being released verbally. I'm telling you, the Lord's speaking to our hearts this morning about His voice. It's not only something that, again, impacts, change, and transforms our lives, our situations, but this is something that He's calling us to be privileged in seeing His voice go forth from our lives. Trey, when you were sharing that testimony, all of that you just shared was because you yielded yourself to the voice of the Lord. You yielded your life to be available for Him to speak not only to you, but through you to those young men. And that's where miracles happen. That's where the gospel transforms people's lives. Is because when that voice is released, when truth is spoken, things change. Everything has the possibility of changing when truth is in the atmosphere. You know, we have been, I believe, diligent to some degree as the church to release truth and to release His voice in these settings. But I believe the Lord is wanting us to go forth afresh into the world around us and be the voice. The voice that He's called and created us to be in this moment, in this hour, in this generation. There's no way that we can be the salt of the earth. There's no way that we can be the light of the world that He's called us to be without being the voice that He's called us to be. It's not enough to live so that someone can see you grow.
Right.
It's not enough.
Right.
If it was, Jesus would have just came and lived His life in silence.
That's right.
But He didn't. He yielded His voice to the Father. And He continually yielded His voice to the Father. The things that we cherish, the things that we honor, the things that we desire to be transformed by were the words that He declared. Those weren't written words that He released in the earth. That was the voice. That's what I'm talking about. His voice being restored in the body of Christ. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, He didn't tweet it, He didn't Instagram it, He didn't post it on Facebook. No, He spoke it. And we have relied on these certain platforms to release our ideas, our thoughts, and perhaps even our messages. But I want to tell you something, that there's no disciples being made by social media platforms.
Amen.
In fact, if you took away all the social media, and I'll go so far as to say even radio and television, it would not delay the coming of the Lord. Because the commission that He gave in Matthew 28 was about making disciples. And friends, the only way that you and I can make disciples is by getting in people's face. And I believe that the Father is wanting to restore that place of relationship that He's called us to walk in, not only with one with another, but with the society around us. He's desiring for everything that has hindered us from being the voice that He's called and created us to be broken off of our life. There's been so many attempts in these last even couple years to silence humanity. More importantly, to silence the voice. If you can't see that, my friend, You might be dealing with some blindness. All of the effort that the enemy has put forth in these last couple of years is not just to socially distance people so they don't fellowship and interact. No, it's to silence the voice. And it's for people to more gravitate towards these tools that doesn't really build relationship. But it gets people's thoughts and ideas out there, and it creates philosophy, it creates a philosophical idea and a feeling among people. And when we start defining that as relationship, we've really gotten off. We've really missed it. And I'm thankful for certain elements of social media and certain elements of radio and television. But I want to tell you something. When we read the scriptures, first century church, those men were writing to people that they discipled. Those men were writing to people that they had relationship with. And it was in context of that relationship that they wrote to them. We're so quick to release things that we're feeling or thinking. We'll put it on a public platform with not having any relationship with the people that we're communicating to. And we're thinking that that somehow is going to touch somebody's heart, change their life, and create a disciple, a follower of Christ. Friends, we're deceived. No, that's not the voice. The voice is when you're actually communicating with someone face to face. That's the place where discipleship begins. That's the place where discipleship continues. It's in that place of living life one with another that the Lord moves in us and through us and takes us step by step by the leading of the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ. He begins to mold us, shape us, challenge us, correct us, direct us, affirm us. But it's all from that place where His voice is being released in the atmosphere in every setting that we find ourselves in. He's wanting to restore each of us to a place that we burn in our hearts to see truth go forth in the world around us, in the settings around us. For some of you, the Lord has been stirring you to release His voice in this setting. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to exhort you. Listen, don't hold anything back from Him. This is a safe place to grow. In this kind of setting, this is a safe place to allow Holy Spirit to begin to develop you more and more in the gifting and the calling that He's placed on your life. What better place than to be surrounded by people that absolutely love you? For you to step out and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you in those steps of growing in faith for the things that He's called you to do. But friend, it doesn't stop here. For too long, we've kept truth in the four walls of this church. And I'm not talking about specifically this church. I'm talking about the church in general. We've lost that place of going door to door. We've lost that place of talking to people on the streets. We carry so many judgments and criticisms against the people around us and against the society that we're living in that we're offended with people before we even know them. It is true. And it has hindered us from being the voice. It has hindered us from being a voice. Obviously, He's the voice, but He's invited us to be a part of what only He can do. But we have to yield our lives to Him. We have to be willing to step into that place and give Him our voice. And in that place, when truth goes forth, Holy Spirit has everything present that He needs to transform a life. In Matthew, chapter 28, talking about the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Go to Acts chapter 1. I was going to try to do it on my iPad. I'm just getting frustrated up here. Go into your Bible. Ooh, that's large print too. That's nice. Jonathan's right behind me in age. Acts chapter 1. Being assembled in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." This was the purpose of the baptism, that we would be empowered to be the voice.
Yeah.
That we would be empowered to be the witness that He's calling us to be. That is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many Pentecostal circles may think the baptism of the Holy Spirit was about us receiving tongues. I love praying in tongues. It's a massive part of my life. I appreciate the grace of praying in tongues and the transformation that takes place through it. But tongues was linked to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because even tongues is given for us to be edified in a place that we can be the witness that He's calling us to be. It's not about our own selfish desires and pursuits and wants. No, it's about us being equipped, transformed, prepared, able to be the witnesses that He's calling us to be. Listen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was given so that we could be the voice that He's calling us to be. And when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, what was the first manifestation that we read about when the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost? There was something visual, right, that took place. But there was an audible demonstration of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was a voice that was released, if you will. The first public demonstration that a people had been baptized in the Holy Spirit was what? It was people from all nations hearing. They heard the voice. They were drawn together because of the voice. What happened when Peter stood up in verse 14? He says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them," he began to preach.
Yeah.
He began to declare. And in that place, what happened? People responded. The miraculous took place that day. 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom, which equated to 3,000 disciples, not because they heard a message, but because they embraced the Lordship of Christ and they began to follow Him from that time forward. And the Bible says that they gathered together in people's homes and they broke bread. They were in the Word and prayer daily. They were together living life. They were moving forward face to face. They didn't have to depend on social media platforms because, one, they weren't present, and two, they wouldn't have helped them in that process of being discipled by the Holy Spirit, because God's called us to dwell one with another. Not just know each other or know about each other, but He's called us to dwell with one another. And I tell you something that I see in this hour, in this day, that the Lord is doing, is the model that church has been made to be, that is not equated to discipleship, but it's equated to a knowledge about who Jesus is, but it hasn't equated to the relationship with Jesus. That's dying. And I believe that the Lord is restoring this place of discipleship back to the church. He has always intended for us to live life one with another, for us to get into the ditch together and work and labor. He's always created us for that place of connection. And when that begins to be broken, friend, not only does it affect who He's called us to be together, but it affects us individually. I cannot be the disciple that He's called me to be without you. I can't not be the disciple that He's called me to be without living life with you to the degree that He's called me to live life with you. I can't be the disciple that He's called me to be without living daily life with those that He's called me to in the Philippines. Neither can they. That's the place that He really transforms us. That's the place where we really learn how to walk in love. That's really the place that we learn how to work through things one with another to come to a place where we're in unity.
That's right.
Blessed is it when the brethren dwell together in unity. Listen, in that place, there is a blessing. There is favor. There is breakthrough when we come together and dwell in unity. It don't take but a small measure of discipline to come together on this day, once a week, and seem as if we're in unity. But I assure you, many today in what we call church is not unified. Why? Because we're living in this superficial realm thinking that that is relationship, and we're not having to deal with stuff face to face. We're not having to be put in these situations. I was just sitting with a brother in Nicholsville, Virginia. And they have a great community there of believers gathered together pursuing the Lord. They're committed to one another. They really are. He said, "Brother," he said, "there was one time that me and the brothers from this community," he said, "we sat in a room for 3 days, no food, no water, prayed until we got breakthrough, and we came out of that room unified in what the Lord was saying." We don't have that in the church, friends. We don't. We have people that will say, "Okay, just do it your way," or "Okay, this is my opinion," or "That's your opinion," or whatever, and they'll walk away from that situation, but they'll never really come to a place that they'll agree that this is what the Lord's saying. Listen, there's a cost to walk in what the Lord's putting before us as the church. There really is. And it's beyond the days that we gather together in an assembly in a place like this. It's one of the things that I love about the grace on your life is you're a gatherer. You're constantly communicating with people. You're in that place of connection. And those that know you know that to be true. You're loving people in their daily life, in their daily situations, the problems that they go through, the trials, the things that they're facing. It's necessary that we're in one another's lives. And that's one of the things that I love about this church. But obviously the Lord is speaking this morning because He's wanting to take us somewhere deeper.
Yeah.
And the question really is, are we willing to allow Him to stir us afresh and yield afresh for Him to take us there? Because wherever He's taking us, it's not where we've been.
Yeah.
It's somewhere deeper.
Yeah.
It's something more. In Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, have you ever read somebody else's Bible and their words weren't in the same place that your words were?
It's just bad.
Wow. Whew. All right. No, this is bad.
I know. It's tough.
Where are they praying, Jonathan?
They're praying?
Yeah.
They're asking God to grant them the...
Yeah.
It's chapter 4.
Oh, it's 4. No wonder.
Verse 29.
Thank you.
Yeah, back a little bit.
Okay. I just want to read 27. Says, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed Herod..." No, let me... Yeah, 29. You had it right. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The whole point of the baptism again was that they would be empowered to be the witnesses they were called to be. When they're in this situation where persecution came and they're praying that the Lord would move, that signs and wonders would be released, and that they would move forward with boldness to do what? To speak. That voice would be released. There has to be that declaration of truth in the atmospheres that we find ourselves in the world around us. Whether it's in a setting like this, which is a very safe place, it's a place where there's a certain ease and grace because we know that we're surrounded by people that love us. But there's also grace for us to go from this setting to a setting where we're in the midst of a hostile environment, maybe perhaps amidst a hostile people, but there's still grace for us to speak truth into the atmosphere of wherever we find ourselves. And it's in that place of releasing truth that the Holy Spirit again has what He needs present to change and transforms people's lives. It's not enough to say, well, you know, He could give them a dream or a vision. Absolutely. And we have many testimonies where the Lord has moved upon people's lives and they've encountered the reality of who He is because of a dream or a vision. How many of you have heard testimonies like that? I've heard many. And they're wonderful. But again, Jesus came and He declared the word of the Father. You know, when He was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, and He said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by... He didn't say every word of the Father. He said every word that proceeds out of His mouth. This is a big deal to Him. This is a big deal because we were created in His image. He created us to be a voice. He created us to echo His voice in the world around us, in the people's lives around us. And as we're obedient to walk in what He's given us, the privilege of seeing Him do what only He can do, when we release our voice, He does do what only He can do. He's the only one that can take that word that was spoken, that truth, and begin to work on areas of their life that you can't see. He begins to deal with things that you may not even be aware of. But Holy Spirit takes that measure of truth and begins to challenge them to a place of repentance. There's been so many times in my own life where I've been so hesitant to speak something that Holy Spirit is stirring my heart to speak. In this setting, outside this setting, many times. It's a horrible feeling. How many of you can relate? You walk away and you're like, man, all I had to do was open my mouth. And if we're honest with ourselves and if we're honest before the Lord, which I'm sure we are, we found ourselves probably there many times. If we're honest, listen, we'll just realize that it's because we didn't trust Him. And for whatever reason that we came to that place, whether it was the fear of man, fear of what people would say or people would do, those are probably the two main things. Maybe it's the fear of not being who you really are in Him, or, you know, the fear of, you know, giving something out of, you know, that you know there's something going on in your life and you've not completely surrendered yet, and so you don't want to be a voice, you know, but Holy Spirit is stirring you to that place. Yeah. Why would the Holy Spirit stir you to give something even when your life's a mess? Because that's part of the thing that brings you to a place of transformation.
Yeah.
It's through that place of giving. We have to get back to that place that we live to give. And that's really what being the voice is all about. It's just living to give. When we gather together, even many times in this kind of setting, we come to receive. However, He never said that. When we come, when Paul's addressing the function of the body of Christ when they're coming together in the New Testament, they're coming to give. You can't give without receiving. When we purpose to give, we will always receive what we have need of. Always. But if you set yourself in a posture of receiving, it doesn't mean that you're going to give what you receive. But you can't outgive God. you can't outgive Him. When you purpose in the course of your day, Father, I want to give. You've created me to give. I want to seize every opportunity that You set before me today to give in whatever way that You set it before me. But I do. I want to give. If we don't go through the course of our day with a mindset and a resolve in our hearts to give, we're going to walk around like this. We're going to see what can benefit us in life because it makes us feel better. It makes us feel more satisfied. It makes us feel more pleased. But friend, there's no greater pleasure than living to give. There's no greater place of satisfaction in the Lord than knowing that you're a vessel that He can move in and through. It's living and walking in that place that, Lord, my life truly does belong to You. And I know that You've given me so much. And I know that You desire to set divine appointments before me that I'm able to give to those around me. When we, even when we gather together in a setting like this and we're purposed to give, listen, you may not be up here speaking. It may be that Holy Spirit stirs you in that place. But I guarantee you would not leave out those doors without having given something to somebody. Because that's the way He moves. It's impossible for us to posture ourselves before Him in a place of giving without Him moving in us and through us. But again, if we don't walk in that mindset, if we don't walk in that resolve, we'll evaluate each situation that we find ourselves in with what benefits us, not with how we can benefit those around us. And so a lot of times we find ourselves in situations hearing certain things take place, feeling a stirring in our heart, but we refuse to give in that moment because we didn't find ourselves in that moment to give. But if we're purposed, when we get up and we go here or go there in whatever situation we find ourselves in, if we're communicating with Holy Spirit and saying, listen, I want to give. I thank You for opportunities to give what I've received. There's no doubt that He's going to open up moments for you to speak into people's lives. It's undeniable. Why? Because He longs for His voice to be heard. I believe it's in John chapter 12 when the Father declared over Jesus and those that were around Him heard, but they didn't hear His voice clearly.
Yeah.
They said it sounded like a thunder, or they said it sounded like, what, an angel or something? Mm-hmm. It was something, but they didn't hear clearly the voice of the Father. Yet He still spoke. Isn't that something? Isn't that something that He still spoke? He knew that they wouldn't hear. And then Jesus said, that voice wasn't given from me, it was given for you. Even in situations where, you know, we may think, oh, they're not gonna receive this, they're not gonna understand this. If you feel Holy Spirit stirring your heart to give something, that's not our responsibility.
Right, right.
But what is to give. But it's in that place of face to face. We've lost that, church.
Yeah.
We've lost that bad in these last few years.
Yeah.
We've counted on these elements to convey what's going on in our hearts or our lives, and it doesn't equate to relationship. It really doesn't. I'm not saying all of you should delete all your social media, you know, accounts or whatever. I'm just saying that is not the platform that God is using to make disciples. He's not. The Lord is not waiting to return so that Mark Zuckerberg could create Facebook and that somehow that would bring the church into His coming. Or any of these other liberal creators of what so many are depending on to communicate their heart one with another. It's not the Lord. But yet we invest so much time and thought and perhaps activity in trying to relay something to one another. But in doing so, we're replacing this right here, this face-to-face interaction. I believe, if anything, a lot of these things have slowed down the progression of the gospel, not increased it. Oh, there may be, people may be hearing a message, But it takes a whole lot more than hearing a message to make a disciple. He's bringing us back into a place of right relationship, not only with Him, but one with another. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, Bill Johnson would like that sound, wouldn't he? Sound of your pages turning. Verse 24, Paul said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." In this place, you know, of desiring to speak as God has stirred us to speak, is the reality that everything that He releases through us is to transform us. It's not just about going about, you know, speaking and declaring, you know, truth, because no doubt that would be released, and His word released through your mouth or a donkey, you know, His word's going to go forth, and it has the ability to touch a heart and change a life. But I guarantee you, Balaam's donkey is not among those who are the great cloud of witnesses.
Right?
You can live in the earth and God speak through you, or you agree with the words of truth. But if you end your life as a jackass, you're not going to be going to heaven. And some of you may be offended that I said that in church. But friend, there's a far worse things go on in the living rooms of our house. I'm tired of the devil perverting things that were never meant to be perverted. If I was up here wearing a rainbow shirt, your mind would immediately think, oh, he must be in agreement with homosexuality. Why? Because the devil has perverted something that God intended to be good. Before we called animals donkeys, we called them jackass. Listen, what I'm saying is, you can be used of the Lord. He can speak in and through your life. But at the end of it all, what's your life? Where's your heart at? How submitted, how surrendered are you to the Holy Spirit and the transformation that His Word was to bring to your life? It's not about us just going about holding signs up and declaring truth with a hateful tone, or, you know, this position of life that, you know, I'm above you, you're beneath me. You need to listen to what I'm saying because you don't know and I do. No, it's about going forth and having been transformed by the truth, but also being a vessel that He's able to move in and through to give it. Listen, we've got to come out of this place of being bound. I know that this message may be choppy this morning, but this is something that the Holy Spirit's speaking to me personally. But I believe that He's speaking it to us this morning. In other words, I'm not just giving you a word. The Lord's speaking to me as I'm giving it. Listen, I can't let anything hold me back from giving what He's given me to give.
That's right.
I can't allow the fear of man to dictate the actions of my life. I can't allow thinking whether an atmosphere is ready or ripe or able to receive what it is that He's stirring me to give. I must be obedient in giving what He's stirring me to give.
Amen.
I've got to release that truth into the environment around me, not just in a setting like this, which is easy many times. Because again, we're in a setting where nobody is most likely going to stone you. I know that some people go to churches like that. I've been in a few churches where, you know, people stand up and have a disagreement and start fighting and storm out or whatever. But in this setting, it's relatively easy. But where we need truth restored is beyond these doors.
Yeah.
Where we need truth restored is in the environments all around us. The world around us is screaming.
Yeah.
for truth. They are longing for it. And reading it on a social media platform, even hearing it from someone that will never stand before them and never have relationship with them. Listen, that will never substitute the reality of what He's called us to walk in face to face.
Amen.
He wants us to be in people's lives. He wants us to recover that place that we're willing to go up to somebody, look them in the eyes, and begin to talk about the things of eternity. Begin to talk about the things of heaven. Begin to talk about the things of reality, of what's taking place in their life. He's looking for those who are saying, "Yes, Lord, I am willing to let go of everything that has hindered me from walking in this place, that I am willing to step into that place, allowing You to move in me and through me to release truth in people's lives that You bring me before." Is it easy? No. Has it ever been about that?
No.
No. It never has. You know, one of the things about Matthew 24, and that's the passage that the Lord was speaking to Courtney through. You know, when Jesus is talking about really the signs of the times and, you know, what would be present before His coming. You know, it's talking about realities that are uncomfortable, undesirable. Realities that are far from what our experience has been thus far. He was bringing forth realities of what would be present and how things would begin to unfold before His coming. In Matthew, I just want to read that and then we'll see how the Lord's going to lead us to bring this to a close. All right, in Matthew 24, let's start in verse 4. It says, "Take heed, no one deceive you, for many will come in My name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come." Have you ever noticed verse 14 right there? And this gospel, this truth of the kingdom, this truth, what truth? The truth that I just read, that it's not going to be easy. That it never has been about it being easy, that it about it being more enjoyable, that it being more what we would call blessed. We're in a war this side of eternity. There's a war that's being waged for the souls of man. And when He was declaring this to His disciples, He's saying, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, then the end will come." We haven't preached that gospel. We haven't preached the gospel of suffering. We haven't preached the gospel of tribulation. We haven't preached the gospel that equates to us laying our lives down. We haven't preached the gospel that declares that after we've done the will of God, then we may receive the promise. We haven't preached that gospel, but that's the truth of the gospel. That it's not easy to give what we received in the world around us. In fact, as we do so, the world's going to hate us as they hated our Master. Nevertheless, we have been blessed and commissioned, and we carry a responsibility before heaven to give what we've received. To not allow the threats of what may happen to us keep us from giving what we have received. We are responsible to be a voice. We are responsible to be a voice in every situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. We are responsible to look people in the face, to get real with people, and talk about the things that are keeping them from embracing Jesus as their Lord. And allowing truth to go forth, Holy Spirit begins to minister to people in a way that only He can. But we have to join together with Him and give what we've received. I'm not trying to put some kind of false responsibility on each one of us in this room that you now have to go out and kind of speak, you know, in every environment and situation that you're in. No, I'm just saying if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll lead us and guide us into those divine opportunities and moments. And you and I know that without me even saying that. But I just want to say, listen, Holy Spirit is good at leading us to give what we've received. We just have to be willing to give. We just have to be yielded to give. You don't have to give according to what someone else may think you should give or that you have to give. All you have to give is what He leads you to give. But when you're positioning yourself before Him to give, you're going to be led all the time. Even when you don't position yourself to give, He's still compelling you.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because He knows that you need to give. You were created for it. And if we don't step in that place of giving what we've received, listen, whatever dreams or desires that He's placed in our hearts, those things will never come into fruition, ever. Ever. We'll carry those our whole life, and some may forget. But even if you didn't forget at the end of your life, you would look back and talk about the things that you believe God to do but never seen. No, if He's put things in you, know that He leads you to that place of fulfillment by you giving what you've received. I mean, it may be some homeless guy on the streets, but as you give to him, it may lead you to your destiny. It'll certainly lead you to a point of transformation. Why? Because when we give, we can't outgive Him. When we give, we will receive. But if we don't position ourselves to give, we could receive it all, but we would never give it. He wants us to give. So many times I would go up to New Carmen, the landfill, thinking, oh man, I have so much to in my heart to give. I'm like so stirred to give just this one more measure of truth or whatever. And I would always be so just blessed and amazed of the Lord that leaving those moments, how much more I felt like I had received from the Father than I was actually able to give.
Yeah.
Because that's the way that He is. You can't outgive the Lord. And so today in this place, listen, if you've battled fear that has kept you from giving what you know the Father's placed in you to give, or if you're here this morning and you've tried to give what He's placed in your heart to give, but it's not been on a face-to-face realm, and you know that Holy Spirit's speaking to you today, no. I want you to step into a place that I'm able to use you, move in you, and move through you face to face with people. Listen, today I believe the Holy Spirit speaking this to us for those hindrances and the things that have kept us back to be broken off. I know that last week Jonathan, you prayed over people in this setting, didn't you? Was it last week? And I believe in that some of you that were prayed over and everyone in this room right now, but I believe that the Lord is wanting to release you with the knowledge and understanding that He has called you to be a voice. You know, in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it says that the believers went about everywhere when they were scattered. All the believers went about everywhere preaching the Word. They all went about with the voice. But they didn't start there. In the beginning, in the book of Acts, they esteemed the apostles highly, but they dared not to be numbered among them. But they had gotten to the place where people grabbed hold of their reality and their identity in the Lord that, oh, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've been anointed to give just as the apostles have been anointed to give. And it came to the place where in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, where there was a scattering that took place in every believer. It says all them that were scattered, and everyone was scattered except the apostles that remained in Jerusalem. It says they went about everywhere preaching the Word. All of them. The Lord's longing for that to happen once again in the church today is that we would give what we've received. He is perfect in leading you and I how to do that. All we have to do is resolve in our hearts, Lord, I'm yours. I'm available. And I'm believing today for nothing to hinder me from that place of stepping out and giving what I've received. If that's you, I want to ask you to come up and I want to pray for you this morning. You don't have to respond, but listen, if you know that the Holy Spirit has put things in, I mean, He's made it known. It's not something I have to convince you of. It's something that He's already spoken to you. But you know that the Holy Spirit has put things in you that He intends for you to give. And yet you find yourself continually facing this battle of stepping out and giving it, then you need to be up here today. I can't make it any more clear than that. If something's been hindering you, something you may have come into agreement with, today's the day that it should be broken off your life. Absolutely broken. I'm going to ask y'all if y'all would to come join with me and pray. But today, whether it's a mindset that you've had up to this point, lay it down. Whether it's an area of unforgiveness that has kept you bound in a place of fear or torment, lay it down. Whether it's something that's happened to you at some point in your life and now you have the fear of what people think or say, lay it down. But whatever it is, do your part, is what I'm saying. Do your part. Lay it down. And say, Lord, I'm acknowledging today in this place, even in a place of confessing, this has held me back. This has kept me from giving what You have given me to give. I'm laying it down before You today. I don't want this thing controlling me. I don't want it manipulating me. I don't want it lying to me anymore. I don't want it directing any step that I take before You. I want You, Holy Spirit, to move in me and through me. I know that You have anointed me, empowered me to be a voice in this generation. And my sphere of influence and my sphere of relationship, You have called and anointed me to speak to people the truth concerning where they're at in light of who You've called and created them to be. And so, Lord, today in this place, I agree for every hindrance, not only to be exposed, but every hindrance to be removed.
Amen.
Every hindrance to be broken in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for the privilege that You've given us to be a voice, that we would yield ourselves to Your voice. The only voice that brings change, the only voice that brings transformation, the only voice that brings deliverance, liberty, salvation. It's Your voice and Your voice alone.
Amen.
But I thank You that You have called us to this place of surrender, that we would be a people that echo Your voice. Thank You for that, Father. Thank You for that, Father. Thank You, Lord. Listen, I want to encourage you even now, if you've had a hard time just even in a setting like this of just your voice being heard, being concerned what someone else may think or say in this setting, I just want to encourage you right now with your voice, begin to communicate with the Lord. It doesn't have to be loud, though it can. It doesn't have to be with a cry, though it can. But I want to encourage you right now in this setting, just allow Him to hear your voice. What's going on in your heart? Yes, He knows what's going on in your heart, but it's important that our voice is released before the Lord. And so, Father, have Your way in us. Have Your way in us in this place this morning. Have Your way. May there be such a mighty, mighty move of Your Spirit that takes place, Father, through those of us that have gathered together here in this room. Lord, that there would be such an awareness of the anointing of Your Spirit that You have placed on our lives to give what we've received of You. I thank You for the voice. I thank You for the recovery of the voice in each of our lives that are in this place today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We're going to just begin to pray for you. Listen, just begin to yield As the Holy Spirit is leading you to yield, hold nothing back. Hold nothing back from Him.